There we go. All right, mic's working. Perfect. I wasn't just ignoring you all. So this message this morning is not one that flowed easily or came naturally. The message is one that required labor and tears and a lot of prayer. The message this morning is one that for some sitting here is going to be so encouraging and life-giving and reassuring, and for others, it will be as a hammer to your souls. And for some, you're going to be unaffected, and you're going to leave the same way as when you arrived, and that's heartbreaking. If you could please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John 10, and we'll be reading verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that you would give me wisdom as I speak, Lord, that you would give me your words, that I'd be true to your word, I'd be faithful to you and to what the message is that you've given me. I pray that you would show each one of us in your word what the good shepherd is, or what we are as sheep, and how we might know the good shepherd. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your great shepherding. Amen. So Jesus starts verse 11 with the declaration, I am the good shepherd. And why does he describe himself as a shepherd? Well, there are many reasons. One reason is because it was a picture that would be understood in that time and that culture. Another reason is because of all of the Old Testament references that the Jewish people had in the scriptures. The Psalms refer to sheep and the shepherd many times. In fact, this is a regular picture given throughout the Bible. To help us understand this picture that God has given us, I think it would be helpful to know some things about sheep and shepherds. Now, for the sake of full disclosure, I have read some things about sheep. I've studied a little bit about sheep and some shepherding techniques. And one of my favorite books on leadership is about shepherds caring for their flocks. However, I have never raised sheep myself, and I am by no means a sheep expert. But there's a couple things that I want to look at about sheep. The wool of some breeds will grow endlessly, so it's very important to shear them. Most of the time, sheep are not able to stand themselves back up if they've fallen onto their sides or their back. Even if a sheep survives an attack, it's likely to die from panic. Sheep are herd animals and work in a group or mob mentality. In fact, another name for a herd of sheep is a mob. Sheep have a keen recall for unpleasant experiences. A lamb identifies her mother by her bleat, and sheep know their shepherd by their call. It's common for sheep to miscarry their lambs if they are panicked or frightened. Sheep require livestock guardians such as shepherds and sheepdogs. Sheep are not equipped to defend themselves from predators. They are prey animals. Sheep are rather susceptible to parasites and infection. Sheep can quickly forget the care and attention of their shepherd and try to leave as soon as one single need is not being met or not being met adequately. Sheep need a lot of careful care and attention to truly thrive, and sheep cannot really survive without a shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but as I look at sheep and look at the list that I just went over, I see a lot of things similar to myself and sheep, especially when I consider the spiritual dynamics of life. I also find it rather interesting that even secular people use the comparison of sheep and people in lectures, movies, music, leadership workshops, etc. Even apart from the Bible, people seem to understand the great analogy of people and sheep. In verse 11, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines a shepherd as a man employed in tending, feeding, and guarding the sheep in the pasture. With our understanding of sheep, we know that a shepherd is absolutely crucial and that a shepherd has many important tasks. I want to look specifically at what Jesus says about shepherds in this passage. In verse 11, Jesus says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus is stating two things in this sentence. One, he is foreshadowing his coming crucifixion and sacrifice and saying that because he is the good shepherd, he will lay down his life for his sheep. And he is also saying that literally, physically, a good shepherd puts the lives of his sheep above his own. A good shepherd takes no thought for his own life when it comes to protecting and caring for his sheep. Think about David with me for a moment. In 1 Samuel 17, in the story of Goliath, David says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." David clearly shows in this passage that he understood the practical, physical, and spiritual picture of the shepherd and his sheep. When lions or bears came for a lamb, young boy David ran after them and killed them to save the sheep. Imagine being 12 or 16 or 20 years old, or any age for that matter, and chasing after a lion or a bear for something so small and seemingly replaceable as a lamb. David did this many times, and I believe that this is just one of the reasons that God called David a man after his own heart. David was a good shepherd, another foreshadow of the Christ to come. David wrote many times in the Psalms about the relationship of the sheep and the shepherd, so Jesus was not introducing a new concept when he gave this lesson. The Israelites had many psalms about how they were sheep and God was their shepherd. In verse 11, Jesus says two times back to back, "the good shepherd," which implies what? That there are bad shepherds or people who tend to sheep that are not truly shepherds. So where do we find an example of that? Verses 12 and 13. "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus gives the picture that people who are simply hired to care for the sheep do not have a true love for the sheep. And so when the wolf comes, or the lion, or the bears, to snatch up a sheep, the hired hand will not risk their own life for a seemingly worthless and replaceable sheep. What a sobering thought. You know, one of the reasons that there's so much garbage in the church today, that there's so many church splits and so many churches living completely divorced from the truth of God's word, it's because we hire pastors. We place men over churches as shepherds of those flocks. We hire men who maybe have degrees and knowledge, typically even some pastoral experience, but they do not have wisdom and the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They do not have the shepherd's heart, and they are not true shepherds. So how do you know if the shepherd that you have over you is a true shepherd? Well, he will be as a good shepherd who gives his life for the flock. A true shepherd, true pastor of a church, will be a man who stands firmly on the word of God and does not stray from it, a man who stands against the wolves, protects the flock, and loves the flock. A good shepherd will not tickle the ears of his sheep. A good shepherd will do what is best for the sheep and for the flock, including sorting out goats and revealing wolves. The sheep may not always know or understand why the shepherd is doing what he does, but a good shepherd will do what needs to be done to care for his flock. And you know what? The goats certainly won't like what the shepherd is doing. After stating the negative elements of a bad or a false shepherd, Jesus says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus reaffirms that he is, in fact, the good shepherd. Not just a good shepherd, but the good shepherd. The perfect shepherd, the good and perfect example for all future good shepherds. Jesus also says, "I know my own, and my own know me." This is a profound statement. Think about it with me for a moment. Jesus knows his sheep. He is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep. The word used for know here is an intimate knowing. It's a personal knowing, a knowing by personal experience. Jesus does not simply know of his sheep. He is not simply aware of the existence or the presence of his sheep. And no, he doesn't even use a numbering system with ear tags and a logbook like we use for animals. He actually personally and experientially and intimately knows his sheep. Is that not amazing? The God of the universe, creator of all things, sustainer of the world and all things in it, knows his sheep, his people, in this personal way. He knows his sheep affectionately. He knows their fears, goals, desires, aspirations, their hurt and heartache, good deeds and bad deeds, their lies, sickness, pain, suffering, hope, joy. He knows their laugh, and he knows their cry. Does he really know his sheep in such a way? Of course. He is the good shepherd. Jesus says that he is also known by his sheep. So not only is he the good shepherd who knows his sheep perfectly and intimately, but he is a shepherd who allows himself to be known by his sheep. He desires to be known by his sheep. Jesus gives his sheep a personal relationship to know and be known by one another. There's two major ways that Jesus allows himself to be known by his sheep. One is the word of God in text. To know, he's given us this word, his word, to learn about him, to see his heart, to know his character and his attributes, even to know his will and desire for us and our lives. And Jesus also sends us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to reveal the truth of God to us, to challenge and encourage us, and to empower us to live the life that our shepherd has called us to. In verse 15, Jesus compares this knowing of himself and his sheep to the Father knowing him and him knowing the Father. I really want you to take a moment and think about just how profound that is. Jesus compares him knowing his sheep and being known by them to the Father knowing Christ and being known by him. Folks, we need to wake up and we need to stop underestimating the level of intimacy that Christ has called us to. Jesus did not come and offer himself up as the perfect sacrifice for you and for I simply so that we could just go to heaven one day. We were saved and made righteous as sheep called unto the shepherd to live in this beautiful relationship of love and intimacy, to truly know and be known by our shepherd. Don't buy the nonsense that snake oil salesman ministers are out there selling you. This pitiful, powerless gospel message where you pray some prayer sometime so that you can go to heaven or so you can simply avoid hell or so that you can be blessed and gain wealth and riches and whatever other nonsense they're teaching people. Yes, sin exists, and we, apart from God, are incredibly wicked, vile, sinful wretches. We are separated from God because of our sin, and Jesus Christ came to die for us and our sin to take away our death penalty and eternal separation from God and judgment and torment in hell. Yes, the very real place, hell. When Jesus sacrificed himself for your sin and for mine, he clothed us with his righteousness. Why? To restore us to a right relationship with God. You know what? Heaven will be beautiful and wonderful. I mean, no pain, no sorrow, no sin, glorious light and riches and everything else. And I long to go there one day. But listen close. If God was not in heaven, I would not want to go. I was not saved just to live in a paradise. John 14:3 says, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's all about being sheep called unto the good shepherd. He will come and take us to himself, that where he is, we may be also. If you're following God this morning because you want blessings, or you want heaven, or you want to avoid hell, your priorities are all wrong. You're totally missing it. You need to serve and love and follow Christ because he is your creator and sustainer. Because he died for you to make you free. Because he loves you with an everlasting love. Because he loved you first and sought you out, even while you were a wretched sinner and an absolute rebel against God. You love him and serve him because he poured out his mercy and grace upon you and spared you the judgment that you deserve. You love him and serve him because he is great and worthy of all praise. You love him and serve him because he is the good shepherd who calls his sheep and knows his sheep and is known by his sheep. And because one day he will call you unto himself, that where he is, you might be also. Someone say amen to that. Let's look at verses 16 to 18. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus says that he has other sheep that are not of this fold. He was talking about the fold of Israel, and he was referring to the Gentiles, to all other nations. In modern context for us, Jesus has sheep that are outside of this fold, Houston Baptist Church, and he must go and gather them also. And they will listen to his voice. There is to be one flock, one church, one body, one bride with one shepherd, one head, Christ himself. Jesus says that he lays down his life of his own free will. No one can take it from him, but he lays it down willingly, and he can take it up again, which is exactly what he did after 3 days, so that he could appear to many as witnesses and then ascend into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, there's so much rich teaching in these verses that we're looking at this morning, and some great statements about election. But that's not the focus here this morning. I really want us to meditate on the good shepherd and his sheep. So let's look at a couple statements that Jesus makes. He says, my sheep know me, and they will listen to my voice. And then in verses 26 and 27, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Did you know that just like how there are hired hands who aren't really shepherds, there are people in the church or the pasture who aren't really sheep? Did you know that not everyone in the world is a sheep? Jesus said, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Matthew 25, 32 and 33 say, "Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left." Verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Down in verse 41, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" A good shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. The sheep will hear, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father." But the goats will hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire." This is why we have that account in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many other mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There are those in churches who say they believe in God, who read the Bible. There are pastors, missionaries, and evangelists. There are men and women who think that they are sheep, and they are not. Though they seem to have done works like prophesying, casting out demons, and many other mighty works, even in the name of Jesus, they were never his sheep. And so they will be separated, and they will hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Dear people, please listen to me and take this seriously. You can attend church your whole life. You can pray, you can volunteer, you can lead a ministry. Hey, you can go and get a Master's of Divinity degree and still be a goat. Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice and know him. He says that his sheep listen to his voice and follow him. If you're here this morning and you think that you're saved, but you do not intimately know the Good Shepherd, if you are not drawn into reading his word and to knowing him, if you do not seek to be obedient to his instructions and commands, then I would urge you to take very seriously Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you fail to meet the test." The Good Shepherd's sheep do hear his voice, and they will obey him and follow him and delight in him. If you are here today and you have not come to repent and surrender to Christ and receive his righteousness and heart regeneration, and you are feeling that urge to do so, please come and speak with me after the service. If you are here today and you do not have full assurance of salvation, you do not know if you truly are a sheep of the Good Shepherd, then dig into his word that you might know his voice. 1 John 5:13 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We are supposed to have assurance of salvation. If you do not love the Good Shepherd, if you do not seek to know and be known by him, then perhaps you are a goat. Do not be as one of those people who will stand in judgment and cry out, "Lord, Lord, did I not?" Only to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness." The good shepherd cares for his sheep, gives life for his sheep, defends his sheep, and separates his sheep from the goats. Houston Baptist Church, let us be a people who seek to know and be known by the good shepherd. Let us be a people who hear the shepherd's voice and respond and follow him. Let us be a people who, full of love and gratitude, faithfully follow our good shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are abundant in mercy and abundant in grace. Lord, that even in our outright rebellion and sin, you loved us, you sought us, you desire us to come to you. As a good shepherd, you call your sheep unto yourself. Lord, I pray that our ears would be opened, that we would be sheep who hear the call of their shepherd. Lord, that we would be sheep who listen and obey. We would be sheep who hear and then follow. Lord, stir in our hearts a deep love and adoration for you ever increasingly, that we would come to know and to love you more as we spend time in your word. Lord, draw us into intimate times hearing your voice, reading your words, so that we might know our good shepherd, that we would have this level of intimacy that you have called us to. Lord, what a beautiful and undeserved gift. Father, we thank you and we love you and we praise you, and I pray that you would be with each one of us here as we leave this place today. Lord, let us not be unaffected. Hammer our hearts and souls. Lord, encourage us, lift us up. God, whatever it is that we need, each person here has a different need at this stage. I pray that you would truly work in hearts. God, that you would stir us to this level of intimacy. And Father, thank you that you are faithful, that you are faithful to complete the works that you've begun, and that Jesus does not leave any of his sheep. Lord, he goes after the one. Thank you for the assurance that we can have in that, that Jesus truly is the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd. And Lord, be with Larry and I that we would be good shepherds to this flock as under shepherds to Christ. Father, bless us, keep us, protect us. We love you and we praise you. And we come to you through the precious and the holy name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.